Thanks, Ron. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yeah.
Generally, I don't need any amplification because I kind of speak my mind, and when I speak my mind, it's pretty loud. And I need hearing aids. So in order to hear myself, I have to speak up a little bit so you can hear me better also. Not that I have that much to say, because I grew up with a dad, and my dad had information. My brother ran a business, and in his business, he had a plaque up on the wall that says, "If you don't know anything, ask me." So it's in my blood. And in my genes. And if one thing I got from that, well, I got two things. I have a way to kind of save my mind, but I also have inherited a disease. And that's mentioned in four ways that we learn about mankind in Scripture too, because one of them is somebody that's incurable. And what I have is incurable. And it's a skin problem. And so I never wore short pants when I was small. I never played sports because it showed up in my legs and the fact that I didn't have the oil in my skin to take care of my skin to allow the hair to grow on my skin. Now it growed in places I didn't need or didn't want. But, you know, a young guy, you always think, well, if you had girls, you say, well, you gonna bring your hair lady boy to see me? The girl, we talked about boyfriends and said, and the dad would say, you gonna date that hairy legged old boy? Well, it wasn't talking about me. And whenever I went to live with my grandmother, she didn't have running water. And we drew water from the well, we set it on the back porch, but they did not have a roof. And then, especially in the summertime, when I got in the tub of water that was heated by the sun, a lot of times it was pretty warm. And the skin from my body made the water kind of turn red. And my grandma always said, well, son, you're playing in this old red South Carolina soil. And said, you're not going to get in my bed with that red stuff on your feet. But it wasn't red stuff that came off my feet. It came off of my whole body. I found out later. And it was dead skin. And so, if I never inherit anything else other than what Christ the Lord has allowed me or will allow me to have for eternity, I had that. And so I started writing a book on my life. And I put it, the dust between my toes. The dust that was between my toes. And it wasn't all dust. Folks, it was part skin. And it's inherited. I can't give it to anybody other than my children. Because I don't know where it come from, but it come from the McCurry family. It didn't come from my mother's side. It come from my daddy's side. And I found out that because my daddy and my aunt, his sister, was married to my mama and my mama's brother, which was my uncle. So I had double first cousins. if they had 12 kids, and some of their kids had got that same disease. But that didn't give me the answer to my problem. It's kind of like when you look into Scripture and you're looking something up. Sometimes you can't go to one source and get it. You got to go to two or three or four different sources to get it. That's the way the Bible is kind of laid out. And so I started asking my kinfolk about that. And I found out that my aunt that was married to Mama's brother, which was my uncle, that my aunt had the same problem. And I said, oh, I've been walking around all this time accusing the Tollison side of my family. But no, it's the McCurry side of the family that it was. So sometimes you got to ask questions to find out where you're from. And I know the Scripture says, don't take much time with genealogy. And that's true. Because one thing that, if you get into finding your roots, so to speak, one thing is that once you get in there, you're going to find things that you didn't know that were there. And then that creates more questions. Well, when I came to know Christ, one Saturday afternoon in a Falcon station wagon, and the Holy Spirit has been dealing with my heart. And I was going down the road thinking about this, and I couldn't get it away from my mind. It was there, folks. I had, all of my life, I had been kind of like mentored in the understanding that I needed Christ. And I needed Christ in such a way that a lot of times if people looked on the churches I went to and looked at the pew when the invitation was made, they could probably still get my fingerprints off that pew. But yet, that was the Holy Spirit dealing with me, because I found out that day, coming home from a ball game, that I had been managing the team. I found out that I had been chosen, or I had found out through preaching of our friend that I'll talk about in a minute, Brother Larry Dyer, that I had been chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. And boy, did that take some thinking. Gee whiz. God knew me then? That far back? Yeah. Now you see, when Cain and Abel came to God in Genesis 1 to give their offering to God, Cain didn't bring the right one. But Abel did. And Cain got so wrought with this, and I think we all know the story. Cain got so wrought with that he slew his brother Abel. And they were brothers, or at least half brothers. And when God dealt with Cain with this, and Cain said, well, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, well, your brother's blood is calling to me from the ground. What did he mean by that? I come to understand that Abel in the Hebrew language means temporary. This had been his assignment. He didn't know it. And Cain slew him. Cain said, well, I don't think I can think I can stand this. People kill me about it. And of course, this was the first murder that we hear about in Genesis. And God said, I'll put a something on you. I'll put a sign or whatever on you that says, it gives you kind of a, what we would call a hall pass if you're going to school. And so therefore Cain lived on it. But the blood that was crying from the ground could have been the unborn that Abel would have had had he lived and was able to bear a family like Cain bore family. And Cain's family had some gifts that was given by God. They were the first metallurgists. They learned the octaves of music. That's what they were given. But they were given something that maybe we don't really think about sometimes. And that's in Genesis 6, where it says, the sons of God went into the daughters of men. And the women were Cain's lineage. So when Satan did his work with Eve, he found a way that he could spread it out for the rest of the people in the world. And he did it through the daughters of Cain, the Canaanite women. They were the mothers of the giants that showed up on the face of the earth. And they made some trouble with Noah when he was building his ark. But he said some of them showed up after that. David killed one of them when he went to the brook and picked up the stones from the brook to put in his sling to kill Goliath. Well, he picked up all these stones. Was God going to let him miss? No, God doesn't do things like that. God is perfect in his ways and doings, the way I see it and understand it. But the ammunition that he had wasn't like we've got them now, the AR guns. You can only put one in at a time. But he picked up those stones and he brought them back because each stone represented one of the giant's brothers. He had enough to kill the entire family, as I understand. But he had seen in his being someone that tended to sheep, that he could put that stone in the sling and he could turn it loose. And it would do the job. Yeah. And so it did the job on Goliath. So I think the direction and the speed was by the work of the hand of God. He didn't miss. Didn't have to miss. You don't ever have to miss when you allow God to take over the thing that he needs to do for you that you cannot do for yourself. I really appreciated Forrest's work that he did in his study of being mentor And that's really what I wanted to talk about. I hadn't talked to Forrest about it. I hadn't talked, really hadn't talked to Ronnie about it.
We don't do a thing.
T-O-R. M-E-N. T-O-R. Everything we know about our power comes from God, because God is power. He is self-producing. He is a self-producer. He is a generator. G-E-N-T-E-R-A-T-O-R, generator of power. And it's on and on. The power goes on and on. Well, the word, the English word that we use there is G-E-N. To start with. And it means renewal or birth. G-E-N. Genesis. You ever realized or understood where the word Genesis come from? It is a renewal of God's idea of mankind or birth. Someone that can reproduce themselves. Think about Genesis 1. God planted a garden. And he put Adam in 4004 B.C. in the garden. Then he took from Adam a rib and he made a woman, feminine, Ishite. But guess what? Satan was there. And Satan and God were having a warfare. And so when Satan saw Eve and Eve saw Satan, there was two things took place there that Satan had never been involved with. Satan was probably the prime minister of the angelic order. And so if God wanted the angels to do whatever his bid or need was, he gave that order to Satan, and Satan gave it to the angelic, to the angels. And they were all male, by the way. My mother had a jigsaw puzzle, and she always was putting jigsaw puzzles together. I got involved in that too with her some. But she had this thing of an angel with wings, but it was a female on a bridge, keeping the little kids from falling off into the cabin. But she never did feel like she had the ability to finish that puzzle, so she gave it to me. And I finished the puzzle, and when I bought a new coffee table to go into my new house, I put the puzzle on the table, and I had a glass top cut to go over the top of the table where I could kind of seal it in. Because I wanted something of my mother to really remember her about, and that was one of those things, and so it's still there in my house today. And that was a long time ago. But that angel scope there in that picture was a figment of someone's imagination. It wasn't scriptural in the fact that I looked when I got it all put together, piece by piece. least to get the whole picture or to get a picture of what it is you're looking for. And I come to know that by my grandmother as being my mentor. Because my mother and father had divorced when I was 7 years old. My father got me, and my mother got my brother in the course of that, and there was no visitation. So at 7 years old, I lost my mama. Pretty hard thing to take. Go to school one day, your dad comes and gives the school lady a piece of paper saying that I belong to him. I get in the car with him and my grandfather, which is a Wesleyan Methodist minister. We drive away. Don't see her anymore for 7 years. 14 years old. I lived with my grandmother for 2 years right after the divorce. And she said, son, not only are you going to get into my bed with dirty feet, with red dirt on your feet, but we're going to learn the Word of God. So we're going to read one chapter of Scripture every day. And I could already read pretty good, but I couldn't read all the words of Scripture, and I still can't. But I found that yesterday. I really can't when Wayne got up here and did his thing. Okay? But said, if we do that every day during the week, and three times on Sunday, we can read the Bible over in a year. I said, we can. She said, yeah. I said, well, okay. And then my father married again and had another family, so I went to live with him for another few years. And he divorced her because my dad didn't know the difference between love and lust. Just to put it plain. That's the plain as I can make. And so I said, well, keeping up with my dad, I don't think so. I'm going to go back and live with my grandma. My grandfather had since died. And my grandmother had made me a kind of a lookout for my grandfather because he was having many strokes and he loved to fish. And so every time we went fishing, I got a sermon from Grandpa, but I also learned how to fish good. And I still do that as much as I can. And more than I need to. But it really thrills my heart to go out in the open spaces or on the lake or in the woods to hunt the fish and to realize that I'm about as close to nature, about as close to the things that God had made for me that I could use in my life as food and also for pleasure. Because a lot of people can't make the distinction between those two things. They're that simple. They don't know the Lord like this group knows the Lord. My grandfather didn't. He didn't know the difference in what happened in Acts and what happened after Acts. He didn't know that. He couldn't tell me that. Because one thing that I found out in my lifetime is you can't tell somebody something or you can't teach somebody something that you don't know yourself. I really appreciate, and I can't say appreciate very good either. I really appreciate Forrest's way of doing things because he can show people how to get organized when they're unorganized in most anything. And the Word of God is one of them, and I appreciate that. And the study on hell. I was in a Baptist church when I come to know Christ. Well, that's where I was going to church. I come to know Christ in a Falcon station wagon. Eyes wide open. I asked God, I said, God, if you'll take these things that I do that are of the old man, because I knew the difference between old man and new man already, but I didn't know how to associate that. And I said, if you'll take my smoking away and some of the ideas I have and all this stuff, if you'll take that away, I will do whatever you want me to do, and I'll do it for the rest of my days. And so I made a vow to God in that station wagon. And then I told the assembly, here's another. Alan last year said, you know, church maybe a lot of times is not a good word in his study. And so I started looking at the word in the scripture of church as being an assembly, because people that really don't understand God in a way that we do look at a church as a holy place. But the church is not a holy place. The assembly, the people that are in the church, they are the ones that have Christ in their heart and in their mind. Because you got to have that in both places. That's what the Holy Spirit does when it comes in as an individual. Or her as an individual. You see, the thought that comes into my mind that way is kind of like some of the things that we use in everyday life. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you either have on you or in your automobile a GPS system? Just about everybody here. How many of you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you? Same bunch. Same, about the same number. See, when you make a vow with God and you ask God to change your life and to change your mind and to change your walk, which we heard from I forget his name now. Tony? Yeah. He talked about walk a lot. Well, in the Hebrew, there's two words about walk. I did a study on it a long time ago, and it lasted a while, too. Yeah. And the two words there was holak and yolak, if I pronounced it the way it should be pronounced. Okay. But one of them is the way that you want to go without God. And the other is the way that God wants you to go through the direction of the Holy Spirit. I don't have a GPS. I don't have a phone that I carry. I have a GPS bar in my car, and when I punch home on it, it takes me to Ronnie's house, or the house that Ronnie did have. But I do have a GPS. I have my hand up too because, yeah, I got a GPS. Ever since that day in July, in the fire for station wagon, the Holy Spirit come into my life. And the Holy Spirit is directed by God's perfect Son. He's man's God and God's man. That's my GPS, God's perfect Son. And the Holy Spirit gives me direction, and my walk and my speech and my thought is where I need to go and what I need to do, and gives me a testimony of what I need to say to others that don't have Christ. Amen. Now, a group like this and a conference like this gives us understanding of what each one of us knows individually to do and to speak and to talk to someone that don't know Christ. So what we have goes right over their heads without the Holy Spirit or without the direction of the Holy Spirit. To them or in them. Because I found out reading Scripture that most of the time the Holy Spirit was with or upon somebody but never indwelled anybody. Well, when God was doing the things in Genesis, He said, if you have a son, take him the eighth day and have him circumcised. That gives him a scar. Boy, I don't know why I got on this. I wrote all this other stuff down. I ain't even looked at it. But where he put the scar on man, it's kind of embarrassing to let it be known to others unless you've made a vow. Oh, yeah, vow. God required a vow. Every time he made a promise, it was a vow. Some of those vows were, if you will, I will. And some of them is, I'm going to do whether you believe it or not. And if you don't think that's true, go back to the Scripture and look at some of that. God says, I'll do this for you if you'll do this. But if you don't do it, I mean, not that particular thing, but what I want done, or what I'm dealing with, or what I'm into concerning the plan and purpose for the ages, I'm going to do that anyway. You might not have a hand in that. So circumcision is a little different. In a man, it's hidden. But now a woman has something too that we don't think about it sometimes, but until we get maybe up to the altar and want to say our dues and give each other a vow, because that's what's necessary too, as the way God sees things. Because that's the way He operates. Into a marriage, a woman brings her, or should. In this day and age, it may not happen much, but sometimes she brings her virginity. And the husband, if he was a Jew or a Hebrew, he would bring his scar of circumcision. And whenever they came to a honeymoon, they had something to give one another. Brand new. Should be. both sides, both ways. Should be you. Because that man, God made him of Adam, and Eve gave life to the first two, Abel and Cain. Cain and Abel, the way it was. And I think they were half brothers, myself, and you can think whatever the Word of God shows you or tells you or the Holy Spirit leads you to understand. But when God was dealing with Cain sometime, at one time, he told him, you are of your father, the devil. God doesn't make announcements like that unless he knows, and he knows. But you see, Adam wasn't given a curse when he was handing out curses to Satan and when he was handing out curses to Eve, because he changed the way that he made woman somewhat. He had to, in order, because of what she had done. And because Adam followed her guide, because Eve had followed Satan's guide and said, yea, hath God said. Well, Eve may have not have heard what God said. She may have heard it from Adam. But whatever transpired there, I'll just leave it in your mind to think about it. Because I think it happened the same day, maybe right at the same time. But he had made Adam to have dominion over the earth. He had given a position that maybe it was brand new. Maybe it was something that he was doing that was supposed to last forever. And it really would. For eternity. I'll not say forever, because forever means to the end of an age. But Adam took the heed of his wife, because I think when he's seen the angel of light standing over there, he has a covering that's different from our skin. And that's the reason I started with my skin problem. Because the covering of Satan is of the precious stones that you can find on the earth. And the earth was made for angels. Because when God made the earth, the understanding, my understanding is, the angels shouted with joy. They had a place of their own. Oh, give it to man. And man flubbed it up right quick. Didn't take him very long to mess it up. Man messed it up because God had given the wife to Adam. And in Scripture, it says they were told to replenish the earth. But that was said or given in the first chapter of Genesis. And in the companion Bible, there's a little note on Genesis 1:28. says, not yet. Now my question to you is, did Eve hear that from Adam, or did he hear it, or she hear it from God? Not yet. Because you've got to go to Genesis 2, or the first part of Genesis 3, to understand that, because something happened. God put enmity, or hostility, between the woman's seed and God's seed. Or man's seed. And that hostility showed up in Cain and Abel. Just like it showed up again in Isaac's son, which was Esau and Jacob. Have you ever correlated those ideas together? Esau came first, but the birthright was to Jacob. Esau had a problem. He had a problem with his blood. Oh. Man's got blood now. So something changed too. Not able to live forever anymore. Or even to the end of the age. That's why God gave us time. We now have this time. We live on a time scale. Whether we want to believe it or not. Where we take it or not. But every time I get out of bed in the morning, I believe it now. For sure. And I have gone beyond my time limit. There's several of us in here that have the name McCurry. Some of us married that name McCurry. And some of us were born with the name McCurry. But in that family and in other families, we have something known as genes. Now, Tony and I, and Tony come into our group a little later on, but yet I didn't know Tony when I became a Christian. Tony's testimony yesterday was, well, Ronnie and Cecil and my wife helped him go from one dispensation to another, I think you would say. But you see, if we went back far enough, Tony and I could have the same gene somewhere down the line. Another G-E-N. G-E-N-E, G, out of the English language. But you see, God is the generator of these things. So you got gen on the beginning of a generator and a T-O-R, like a mentor, or an actor, or a doctor, or a pastor. All these names is related to something that goes along with knowledge. God gives out to man wisdom. And along with that wisdom, is in the involvement of that is knowledge and understanding. Because you can have wisdom and not act upon it. You can have wisdom and knowledge. You can be sitting under somebody that knows everything about a subject and still not know how to use it. And then you can have wisdom and knowledge with understanding. Not only something that you know how to do, but that you can teach others how to do it also. And that's a testimony reason we send our kids over here to college or somewhere else to college. They need the three things like they need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For that understanding for their life. Boy, I like to watch somebody. I can't play an instrument. I can't even hum a tune really good. But somebody that can pick up an instrument that's made by man and knows the octaves of music or even has an ear for it and can sit there and pick and do whatever like Greg can do. I can sit and listen to it all day. I've got a tape at my house that I got out of Oscar's list of things over the building. And it talks about the songs of Moses, Deuteronomy. And some guy put it in music. One guitar, I'm going to tell you right now, I've listened to it 15 or 20 times. I could listen to it every day if I had the time. It is absolutely astounding to me that man can do these kind of things. But God gave these gifts. And what I was going to talk about was the gift of God, and I was going to talk about the word of. Haven't even looked at it. As we just said, you're talking. But everything we have comes from God. And He put it here for a purpose for mankind. Because mankind is His inheritance. Mankind's that was from Abraham was the Father's inheritance, and the Christ's inheritance came about by His blood on the cross for the rest. And so if you haven't really thought about that very much, you need to think about that some too, because it will truly help your understanding and your belief in what the Scripture tells you. But you see, what you and I get in these studies, as I said before, again, are things that we can enhance each other's understanding about. Because one of us talks about one thing and the other talks about the other. One sees one part of Scripture as being one thing and somebody sees that same part of Scripture as being something else. But yet, we can sit down and agree and talk about it because Scripture doesn't bring confusion. It should bring peace.
Amen.
And understanding. That's what it's here for. That's what God gives it for. And the way He gives it. You know, He gave it to these young men knowing that they were going to take their life. He put the enmity between the seeds in Genesis 1 because of pity. But He talks about it two places in Scripture as being something else in the English. P-I-T-Y turns into P-I-E-T-Y. Pie. I want you to remember this. That piety used that way in Titus and the other place, and I can't remember exactly now the other place, but in the book of Titus, he was talking about the widows. And piety means an adult in the group. And that's what you and I are supposed to be as we represent our belief in the God of the universe and His Son and His Son's blood. As we talk to people that don't know these things, they have not got a clue. Piety. And he told, basically he told Timothy the same thing, because Timothy had a little problem. Paul was always goading Timothy and bringing him up to speed, because he was not always with Paul in Paul's teachings. But see, he was one of the ones chosen to take this message to the rest of the world. And so sometimes, and that's one reason why Paul wanted to get back with Timothy again in 1st and 2nd Timothy. He had left him at Ephesus, and he wanted him back to be with him, but he wrote these letters to him telling him what he wanted him to know concerning his testimony.
You said 50.
Okay. So, I don't carry a watch with me either. Larry Dyer taught me that. Larry Dyer was my mentor. That's Lori's daddy. Candy's daddy. Tony's father-in-law. And it was Ronnie's father-in-law. It was my best friend. Because he was my mentor. He was the one that when I heard these messages that he was giving in a Baptist church, said, man, where has this guy been all my life? He's telling me things my grandfather and my grandmother didn't tell me. And I always considered my grandmother being a better preacher than my grandfather was. And boy, a much better cook. You ever eat anything on a wood cook cooked on a wood cook stove by a 75-year-old woman that had cooked and raised, had a family of 10 children and had to do things the hard way and grow most of the stuff herself? And she grew everything but rhubarb. And she didn't grow rhubarb. You know why? Anybody here know why? You can't eat the leaves of rhubarb because they're poison. But the stalk is not poison. But the stalk takes the place of some of the sugar that we consume otherwise in this day and age. So the rhubarb, and it takes about 3 years for it to grow too. My grandma wanted something to grow now. And
said feed you.
Well, yeah, because here I am, you know, and I'm part of her raising. But the story that I haven't told you concerning my testimony for Christ was at 14 years of age, having not seen my mother for 7 years, we lived in the same county. Something happened. My mother had married again and had children. And the man she was married to was a junkyard man. He had a car junkyard. And back in those days, the people that had school buses, they would wear out and they'd have to do something with them. And my stepdad, for mother, he would buy up these old school buses. They wasn't as big as some of the ones we got now. And he would take the running gear out from under them and set them down and use them as what I call a yard barn or a storage area. And a junk man don't never leave the junk by itself for a long time, because that's part of his gold. That's part of his money. That's his living. So he sets them in the yard of his house. And him and Mom had built a new house in the edge of the junkyard. And he had two girls. I had two half sisters that I'd never seen. And my stepdaddy had not used one of them school buses for parts yet. But he put starters and generators. Well, they didn't have alternators then, but they had starters and generators and radiators and things like that. So he'd take off these cars and put them in this thing where he could lock them up. Because he was in town and there was no fence around his junkyard, so they was at the mercy of whoever could sneak in and get them sometimes. And so the little girls made them a playhouse. And this other school bus. And my oldest half-sister, which we call Tiny, she comes with one or two of our conferences one time, or twice, maybe, I don't remember. She come in the house, running in the house, and told Mama, said, Kathy's out there in the playhouse, and said, I can't get her woke up. And so Mama jumped up and went out there immediately. And Kathy was, I was about 5 years old, beautiful little girl, and she was out. And so Mama shouted down to the junkyard office down there where my stepdad was, and he had a colored guy working for him named Provis Keaton. And Henry told Provis, says, call the doctor. They had a list there. And Henry ran up to check on his daughter, too. And the daughter was not responsive. They loaded her up in a car and carried her down to the doctor's office. And his office had an entrance where you could go in straight into the doctor's office. They had opened the door and they brought her in there. And they couldn't get her back. Two doctors there. Amazing wells. Both of them good doctors. Respectable doctors. They tried and tried. And they couldn't get the life back in her. And so she passed. Well, the question was, what did she die from? So they put heart attack on the death certificate. I've come to understand that probably it was something else which caused the heart attack. And I think in that empty school bus had been taken over by a couple of black widow spiders, and one of them had bit Kathy because she didn't know not properly not to play with it. And bit a vein or something that went right back to her heart, which would have stopped her heart. And a little child like that with a big load of venom from a black widow spider. And I've got them growing too up in my quad cemetery under Bobby, or over Bobby Ann, mine. Where you turn the vase, take it up, put the flowers in, or turn the vase over and put it down in the headstone thing. The Perpetual Care Cemetery, look in there, boy. You're talking about a place for black widow spiders. If you want to go, that's the place to go look. Go to the cemetery. That poison that Satan put out, or that poison that God allowed when he told Adam, he said, I'm not going to put a curse on you, but by you collecting the stuff that I have planted for you and have for you to eat, There'll be stickers there. There'll be something that will, that can stick you, sting you, or whatever to make you look at what you eat and give you an idea of who I am and what I am. Because in that sense, he knew that someday they were going to put that, he already knew that they were going to put that crown of thorns on his head and call him the king of Israel. And that was part of the curse too, was the crown of thorns. The stick man. I like the thing that's in Jack Eberle's Prison Epistles Interlinear. Jack Eberle said the things that Satan done to thwart God's plan and purpose and problem says is like is dealing with man. It's like turning a man wrong side out or putting on his clothes wrong side out. Have you ever thought about getting up at night, having a mask on, or if you wear a mask when you sleep, or leaving the light off in a dark place, and you fumble around and you feel for your clothes, and you put them on and you don't know whether they're right side out or wrong side out, and you put them on the wrong side out, how they feel and how they look to others. That's the way that Satan works on mankind. He gives him, he turns the man the wrong side out from the way that God had him made. And you change anything that God has made, and that's the reason Satan and God was in the battle, because Satan wanted to be the son of God. So he wanted to turn himself wrong side out. And what Satan could do was just through man. So Satan took, you know, and figured out a way to show these fallen angels of God how to copulate with the woman to bring about the seeds to turn the people wrong side out before these individuals that they couldn't do anything with, and show the wrong side all the time to those folks. Well, folks, when we're dealing with a testimony to tell people about the love of God and the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, these things that we could not do for ourselves, even though we know God, until the Holy Spirit makes everything right within us, tells us where to go, what to do, how to do it, and what God expects. Because you cannot hide anything from God. He knows even the hair on your head. He knows all these things. And that's what man don't understand, that don't know God. So that's the kind of things that I talk about to people when I meet them and say, okay, what do you know about my Christ? And always, when they ask you a question, answer it with another question. Learn that from Larry Dyer. A lot of times when he had a Bible study in somebody's home, he would reach in his pocket and pull out a handful of thimbles. Women sewing thimbles, where they sew. What's that got to do with the Word of God? He'd say, okay, I'm going to pass them out to all of them. He says this thimble will only hold so much in volume. But he says, I'm going to start giving you God's word now, And when your thimble gets full and it can't hold anymore, or you get so tired and sleepy that you can't understand what's being said, what's going on, because a lot of times your dear ear tells you, you know, when you got to give up. He said, turn your thimble over. And he said, when you turn your thimble over next to the Word of God, I'll know to quit, because I've got a truck load at home and I'm going to just give you a thimble full at a time. Think about that a minute. I do the same thing. I'm a copycat. But I do have the ability to talk, because you guys have sat here listening to me, and only one or two of you got up and left. And that's pretty good show. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come this way again today, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being here from this Friday afternoon through this morning. But we ask that your walk that you give us takes us to places that we stop and sometimes scratch our head and ask, why are we here? And the Holy Spirit will give you direction, because if you have the Holy Spirit and you send the Holy Spirit to us, it enters us without scar, and it gives us direction, and we're never lost, even though we may not know where we are. But we're not lost, because the love of God's blood has changed our ability to have hope in the rest of your gracious word. Continue us in your word, but give us an understanding that some of the things that we learned this week is hard for people that do not know and understand, that they might not be able to use it to someone that don't have that knowledge. And we ask for the knowledge and the ability to use your wisdom in the hearts of those that have not. I ask you to God bless and watch over us, and give us that testimony that we need to share with everyone that we come around, that we feel like they get the sense that they don't have the understanding that they need in their life. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the grace. And thank you for the all things, because I didn't get to mention in my study the all things. But the all things is the Godhead of the universe and what has been prepared for us in hope in the future. God bless us. Give us understanding and knowledge to give it.